I read a letter, and I'd kind of like to read it to you. It says, "My dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I am yours for all eternity. Signed, Diane. P.S. If we ever break up, I want this picture back." I like that story. I like that story because that's oftentimes how we do things. When we make a commitment, but we always put a P.S. at the end of it. Well, we belong to Christ. There can be no P.S. There can be no P.S. on a life given to God. That's what I want us to remember tonight, is that right now we are God's chosen people. And as we go throughout this service, I want you all to remember that no matter what I say, I want you to understand that we here, if we serve Christ, are God's chosen people. Now, turn with me to 2 Samuel 11. 2 Samuel 11, verse 2. "Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. For she was cleansed for her impurity, and she returned to her house, and the woman conceived. So she sent and told David, and said, 'I am with child.'" As I started to think about this story, one thing kind of stood out from the rest of it. I've read this story 100 times. I'm sure many of you have read the story 100 times too. And we all know what happens. David has Uriah killed. He goes to the front of the line, and he has the line pulled back. And Uriah is killed, all because David wanted his wife. There's one thing I noticed during this story. How quickly I forget what an ego King David had at that time. Here he was, the king, and yet took something that wasn't his. Here Uriah was, his faithful servant, and did everything that he was supposed to do, and yet still was put in the front lines and killed. Now both men were faithful, and some say that because they called him Uriah the Hittite, that he was a convert, that he'd never always believed in the God of Israel, that he was changed, but he followed him obediently. And he went to war for God and for his king. And David, understanding this, took advantage of those things because he was king. Well, later we find out that David comes to understand the error of his ways and repents. But Uriah is still dead. How oftentimes we are like King David, I started to realize. When we start to think that now we are kings, when we are servants. I don't know if I've ever told this story here, but I'm going to tell it again about my cousin, who I grew up with all my life. And I loved him so much. I can't say that enough, how much I loved my cousin. He was great. We were exactly alike. But things change. And people change. And we both changed. I started to do things a little differently, and he started to do things a little differently. I wanted to follow God. He chose not to. The sad part is, is I had the opportunity to tell him about God. And I never gave him the chance. I was so scared. I can remember us going into church and laughing and making fun of people who were worshiping God. What a horrible thing to do. And yet that's what we did. I remember my grandmother praying for us for hours. We were the exact same. And yet something in me, people had changed my life around. People had drawn me closer to God and made me realize who God was. I wonder if that was the same with Uriah. Did somebody change his life around? Make him see things differently? And how foolishly I acted when I thought I was too good to tell him about God and his coming kingdom. My cousin's been dead for years now. He's only 6 months younger than me. And I still miss him. And I miss the opportunity that I had to tell him about God and his son and his coming kingdom. I look at that opportunity that I had and I think about that all the time. One shot. All I had to do was do one thing. And I didn't do it. And now he's gone. And that I think about that. I think about that pretty much every day. But there was something interesting that happened that I started to realize. You see, my cousin was like a brother to me. Well, my brother that I have now was adopted, and he used to be my cousin. I like to think of that as my new chance to tell my little brother about God's coming kingdom. To tell him that Jesus loves him. And that me and him are just the same. We're doing the exact same thing. My whole point of this is to tell you that right now, while we are on this earth, we are people's servants. We are here to serve them and to bring them to the kingdom any way that we can. You know, I always look at things, and I look at things odd. I tend to look at things different. And I started to notice some things throughout the scriptures. And I hope some of you think this is odd too, or else I'm going to be kind of embarrassed. But as I look at these things, I think, when we are weak, we are strong. We must die to live. The last shall be first. The first shall be last. Our king has died, and yet he lives. We live, and yet we're dead. When I am poor, I am rich. I am to love those who are considered unlovable. I'm supposed to give hope to the hopeless, faith to the faithless, and we are to be separate, but we are of one body. And to be great, you must serve. You know, as I looked at those scriptures and I thought, wow, you know, those are crazy. It's something that you can't understand by man's thinking. It's something that doesn't make sense. And yet, as a church, we are here to turn this world completely and utterly upside down. Not just to make a difference, but to make a difference. I mean, not just a difference, but a difference. Not to just say we're going to do something, But to do something, what power we have through God and His Holy Spirit. Jesus came and made the lame walk. He caused the blind to see. He made the dirty clean. He made the sick well. Made the unseen seen. Set son against father, mother against daughter. He did a lot of things. But one thing that he did, turn with me to Mark. One thing he did, Mark 10, verse 43. Is he showed us how to be a servant. In Mark 10, here we have the disciples arguing who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus says to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." What powerful words from our King, no less. I have never heard any king say, "I want to be your servant." And yet Jesus did it all the time. He went into cities and healed the sick and opened people's eyes and loved them and cared for them. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Shows Jesus' great love. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I look forward to the kingdom coming. I'm very excited about the kingdom coming. And I look forward to the blessings that we are going to have and the wonderful things that are going to happen. But right now, I am not happy at all with the people that are lost. And I hope you're not either. What words? "They are weary and scattered." That, to me, portrays this world right now. There are so many people out there who are just looking for a way, looking for something, looking for anything. And yet oftentimes, and even I, act as if we're kings who can't go out and tell them about the kingdom that is coming. We need to start being slaves. We need to start loving the lost. Those that are unlovable. Those that are hurting. I read another story. It says, I was naked and you questioned my lack of modesty in my appearance. I was imprisoned and you debated the legal aspects of interference. I was penniless and you discussed tax-deductible donations from your wealth. I was sick and you thanked the Lord for the blessings of your health. I was hungry and you formed a club to study malnutrition. I was homeless and you sought God's love for shelter from any conditions. I was lonely and you left me by myself while you and your friends prayed. You seemed so holy and close to God, yet I am still sick and alone and afraid. That also tells the condition of this world. They are sick, they are alone, and they're afraid. We have a shepherd. Let's bring them into the flock. If we bring them into the flock, we need to nourish them. We need to give them guidance and spiritual well-being. Show them God's love and His power. We need to live as slaves now. There'll be time later, but right now there's work to be done. We have many fields of harvest that are open and many different ways of doing it. Let's find a specific way to do it, and let's do it. Let's time, instead of praying for those who are lost, go and pray with them about their sicknesses and their hurts. Instead of praying for them while they're homeless, let's give them homes. Instead of worrying about whether they have something to eat, let's feed them. Sometimes it's hard to call ourselves slaves, and yet that's what we are right now. We are servants. We need to act like servants. And servanthood is not something that's oftentimes enjoyable. It's not supposed to be. But it definitely is worthwhile.